We've heard the stories. We've reported them here. How COVID-19 is good for the environment. Clean air in Los Angeles without traffic. More wildflowers and bees in the UK. Crystal clear waters in the canals of Venice. Evidence, right, that the new coronavirus shutdowns have saved nature. And then we've gone on to report that this is just a temporary save. But our next guest says it's even worse, that COVID-19 may actually be hurting the environment, in that while we look the other way, there's deforestation, illegal mining, wildlife poaching, land grabbing. Those last two, the destruction of wild habitat and the sale of wild animals who often end up in those so-called wet markets, are thought to have caused the new coronavirus outbreak. Colorado State University professor Edward Barbier, whose recent article on the World Economic Forum website is titled, "The COVID-19 Pandemic is Not a Break for Nature. Let's Make Sure There Is One, a Break After This Crisis." His co-authors include Costa Rica's Minister of Environment. He joins us now from Colorado. Professor Barbier, Ed, welcome.
Thank you, Robin.
So we know that there's a short-term benefit. You know, the International Energy Agency says the world will use 6% less energy this year. That's the largest reduction in 70 years. But that's not going to make up for these other losses that you list. Start there. You write, in rural areas, nature is kind of a savings account for people. They live off it. They make withdrawals, you know, for food when they go hunting and fishing, for land when they grow food or build. What is happening in those areas?
Well, two things are happening in rural tropical areas. The first is that with the pandemic and then the lockdowns, a lot of people who migrated from rural areas to the urban areas of developing countries are now flocking back to rural communities where they came from. As a result, as you described, they then go back to using nature more intensively. They don't have employment or income, and so they want to use the land. They want to perhaps harvest wildlife. They possibly also engage in some illegal activities. This is leading to tremendous pressure unexpectedly. But perhaps the more overwhelming problem is not from these people, but from illegal actors basically taking advantage of the governments being focused on COVID and not protecting tropical areas and remote regions, and going in a big way with mining, with agricultural development, and certainly converting a lot of forests and burning it.
So this is a huge movement to this illegal mining or poaching. And then the groups that usually defend these areas, conservation groups, because of the lack of tourism, you remind us, these groups don't have the resources that they once had to fight those bad actors.
That's right. And also restrictions on travel and operations. And of course, isolation means that they can't actually operate in these areas legally, of course, to monitor what's going on.
You mentioned Kenya, the Galapagos, the World Heritage Sites. They're not getting protected because there's just not the tourism dollars to fund that. And remind us, we've spoken about how, you know, one action somewhere has these unintended consequences. So when people destroy natural habitats by building or logging, the creatures that live there, like bats, are forced closer and closer to humans or other animals. And suddenly you have these zoonotic diseases, diseases that might pass from animals to humans.
That's absolutely right. And in fact, the two main drivers of disease transmission from wildlife to people are wildlife trade and exploitation, and also land use change. Because we destroy the habitats, or the habitats become degraded and much smaller, that increases the chance of contact between humans and wildlife. And of course, when you exploit, trade, and consume wildlife, then you become more in contact with them. And so there is a double danger here. Not only are we impacting rural livelihoods of local communities by destroying tropical forests and other ecosystems, but we're actually increasing possibly the risk of future disease transmission from wildlife to people.
And even though you can connect the dots, you can tell world leaders, there will be more pandemics just like this if we don't do something about climate change. This is a natural fallout. We told you, we predicted that this was going to happen. It feels as if it's going to be hard to get people to focus attention and dollars with an economic crisis on,
yes,
you know, the climate and the environment.
Yes, exactly. However, I think there are some positive signs here. First of all, even before the pandemic, the IPCC and others had pointed out that land use change is contributing to about a quarter of global emissions. So already there was a movement globally to consider land use change and how do we control it as an important part of our global climate strategy. Secondly, we're having more and more studies show that what's called natural climate solutions, protecting, restoring, and managing ecosystems, forests, and land is essential and relatively cost-effective to reducing climate emissions. And then thirdly, I think there is growing recognition of this problem that nature is not getting a break from the pandemic in rural tropical areas. And in this area, I would like to see personally more of the fiscal stimulus that's being spent for emergency relief going to help poor countries that are affected by an uptake in tropical deforestation and land use change to help them protect their areas from illegal exploitation.
Now, things like mangroves, tropical forests, peatlands, other ecosystems, spend the money there. Tell me one thing, for people who are, you know, worried maybe they've seen an elderly relative die alone in a nursing home because of a virus they never heard of before, we also have huge eruption of racial issues in the U.S., but people around the world responding to this. You know, when maybe Blacks, African-Americans are thinking, I got to worry about whether or not I'm going to die because I might have had a small infraction and a police officer is going to kill me. How do you convey that the global warming, the climate change is equally important?
I think the answer is that increasingly we're becoming aware that climate change does not affect all people equally. If you are poor, if you're vulnerable, if you're subject to discrimination, if you are forced into crowded areas, you get the worst pollution, you get the worst hazards. And in both urban and rural areas, you suffer from drought, from flood at risk if your cities are close to the ocean. So increasingly, we're seeing that the burden of climate change, just like this burden of the pandemic, is increasingly falling on the poorest, the most vulnerable of society, and the elderly. And these are the people who are affected in the pandemic disproportionately. And we're seeing that climate change risks and other global environmental risks also fall on these vulnerable groups around the world. And so when people in their own rooms and houses see that their family members are being affected, and that the unemployment consequences and the income losses that they're experiencing, the same thing is being felt by somebody in New Delhi or in the jungles of Brazil, being exposed to all these pressures, climate change, biodiversity loss, and of course, now the pandemic.
That's Colorado State University Professor Edward Barbier. We'll link you to his writing on how COVID-19 is not good for nature in the long run at herenow.org. Professor Barbier, Ed, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Robin.